Welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Welcome to Syosset Library Turn the Page podcast. This is Jessica and...
Hi, this is Sharon.
And Stacy.
And our guest today is, would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh, sure. Hi, my name's Ella Morton. I'm a writer and a contributing editor to Atlas Obscura.
Very cool. Would you like to talk a little bit about what Atlas Obscura is and how it got started?
Sure. So Atlas Obscura is a bunch of different things now. It's a lot more than it was at the beginning. It started in 2009 as a collaboration between Josh Foer and Dylan Thuris. And both of them had been big into road trips as kids and also had fascinations with nerdy things and sciencey things and historical things.
We're all librarians here. We love all that
stuff.
Yeah.
That's our sweet spot.
I know. It's like, who could even imagine such a thing? So they met and got talking about their individual predilections and fascinations with 17th century polymaths and about places like House on the Rock in Spring Green, Wisconsin, which is this enormous property that has things like the world's largest carousel and...
It's been featured in, I think, Neil Gaiman's American Gods.
Season 2.
That's right, yes. It
and in the book.
So they basically started what was pretty much a blog to talk about all of these places that they had been to that they found strange and wondrous and awe-inspiring. And then once they'd gotten down a bunch of places that they had personally been to, they opened it up to submissions from people around the world. And from that, it's just grown exponentially. We now, on the website, have over 18,000 places. We have a database we have a database for strange and amazing foods. Mm-hmm. And we also have an editorial component, we have videos, we do events, and we take people on international trips. And we have books, which is the most relevant for our purposes. And that's the point at which I joined. I became part of Atlas in 2011, and I was brought on to be a writer for the first book, which came out in 2016. So that kind of gives you an idea of how long it took to actually write the thing. It was about 4.5 years. And
it's a big book.
It's a big book. It could kill somebody.
Well, we hope it doesn't.
Brick of a book. Yeah. So that one came out in 2016. It has about 500 places in it. And then we had our kids' book come out last year. And then just this month, we had our updated version of the first book. So we've been busy.
Yeah, definitely. Was it like you have 500 places in the first book? Was it difficult to
narrow it down? How did you choose?
Yeah, it was so difficult. We had a big spreadsheet. We had a lot of fights, and we had some amusing conversations with our editor at Workman Publishing because she would say things like, "Look, can you just choose your top 5 museums featuring wax models of dermatological diseases?" we were listing all these places that we really liked and that individually have so much merit, but when put in a collection with a bunch of other places that are similar, they look less standoutish, less unique. So ultimately, I think we did have a good combination of different types of places from different locations. But the one thing that we didn't quite get right the first time around is that we didn't have enough places in Africa and some parts of Asia and the Middle East.
Okay.
So that's something that we've sought to rectify in the updated version.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you tried to get like a well-rounded collection, so different types.
Right. Yeah, so we've got a better balance for the updated one that just came out.
Very nice. Do you have any fate? I mean, this is kind of redundant because you just explained how difficult it was to narrow it down. But and a lot of submissions. Did you use submissions mostly from the original creators or from people who contributed?
So this is a question that a lot of people ask is like, have you been to all of these places, the three of you? And as much as I want to say, yes, I've been to all 500, it's just not logistically possible. So we do, even though three names are on the front of the book, we are very much in debt to the Atlas Obscura community, who are the people who bring a lot of these places to our attention. And the way that it works is that anyone can submit a place idea on the website, and then we look at it, we decide if it meets our standards for strangeness and wondrousness, and which are kind of mildly ambiguous criteria, but ultimately they just need to be places that are surprising in some way. Or unexpected.
That's cool.
So
you have some really awesome ones.
There are many. I just went on a book tour and I did some school visits as part of that. And one of the things that the kids really freak out over is Snake Island, which is
just
off
the name.
Coast of,
tell us about Snake Island.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it's fantastic. So in Portuguese, it's known as, I think, Ilha Quimera del Grande. I'm going to butcher that. I'm sorry. But it's this island off the coast of Sao Paulo, and it's uninhabited by humans, but it's inhabited by an absolute ton of golden lancehead vipers, which are very venomous.
Oh, wow.
And they're endemic to that island. They're only found there. And so this island is just teeming with serpents. And they're not just on the ground, they're in the trees.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
You lost me. Well, no, I was going to be like, that sounds cool. I'd totally visit it. But then you said how, as soon as you were like, vipers, I was like, never mind.
Yeah. I could see how kids would just love this.
So found this island, and are they still with us?
Right. Well, there are all these, there's all these stories. I don't know if they're myths. I hope they are. But because you're not actually allowed to visit unless you get permission from the Brazilian Navy and you have a legitimate scientific reason.
Oh, wow.
Because the estimate in terms of population density is that there is one snake per square meter. And so that's the sort of catchphrase is that
wow.
Snake Island.
Can you send people there? Any exes or any,
you know, like there's this really
that's
cool place you should visit.
Business idea.
Total great photo opportunity for you.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's really amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I could really see why kids would like that.
So what age is the children's book written for? Like, what would you suggest? Is it more
Yeah. It's kind of up to you. I mean, the focus on the children's book, we have a lot of the same places as the ones that are in the adult's book, but it has, every page is really richly illustrated.
Nice.
So it's a bit less text and a lot more imagery. So I'd say, we have a lot of kids that read our original book.
Right.
And it's sort of, it reminds me of when I was a kid and I would take an encyclopedia to bed and just open it at a random page.
That's
the kind of feel we're going for. But I'd say maybe up to like 10 or 12 is probably the max age for the kids' book. Yeah. Cool. But Snake Island, it's just, there are all these stories, like there's a lighthouse nearby and there's a story about the lighthouse keeper and their family trying to escape and being set upon by the serpents and bitten to death and drowning in a pool of their own blood.
Wow.
So it's evocative.
It certainly is. I mean, that almost sounds, I mean, it might be, but that sounds like urban legend.
Mm. Oh,
and
yeah,
that's what I
thought. Territory.
And I think that's one of the things that drew me in when I started seeing posts from Atlas Obscura. When you're a kid and you hear a story that supposedly happened to a friend of a friend, of a friend, and it's totally true, but, you know, there's obviously no proof, but you scare yourself thinking about it, or, you know, you hear
there's
about,
a
like,
place that people go
yeah.
to.
Yeah,
exactly. But there were pictures of these places.
Well, because I looked up, I have the website up. I'm like playing around with it as we're doing this podcast. But I looked up just to see what's near our zip code. And one of the ones is the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, yeah.
So have, you know, some of that in there. Seeing all the other stuff. I'm like, oh, I remember seeing that. There's Execution Rocks Lighthouse, Sands Point. I didn't know that there was the Long Island Puppet Theater. I didn't know that was real. That's in Hicksville.
Yeah. Yes, I've actually been there.
I've been to a birthday party there, so it is real. I can vouch.
Yes,
I was like, I saw that. I was like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
I think literally
you'll get a chance.
The only thing I've been to was the Whaling Museum. I'm like, I don't go to cool
Which
places
is a classic
on Long Island.
Cold Spring Harbor Whaling Museum. We like to go there with the boys. But yeah.
So did you have a list of places around here that you wanted to talk about?
I did. There's one that I actually just came across, and this is part of the joy of Atlas Obscura, is that you can look at, you can go there and say, what's near me? And then there might come up all these places that you just had never heard about that are in your neighborhood, essentially. And for Syosset, I was looking at the ruins of King Zog's estate.
That's an
amazing that's the first one that pops up on here. And I was like, what is this? I've never heard of it.
So tell us about it.
Yeah. Sure. So there's this grand, it was called the Knollwood Estate, and it was built for Charles Hudson around between 1906 and 1920. And apparently it was purchased by King Zog from Albania in 1951.
Wow.
But I don't think he ever turned up, because there were all these rumors that circulated about him and about there being treasure stored in the walls of the estate.
Wow, right
know,
here, yeah.
Just standard Albanian treasure. but King Zog is pretty fascinating on his own. He had to flee Albania when it was invaded by Italy, and he reportedly survived over 55 assassination attempts.
Whoa.
Okay, this is like a Wikipedia.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
Yeah, and apparently, so he bought this estate, the Knollwood Estate, in 1951. He seemed to want to turn it into his own little micro-kingdom, is the terminology used on the site. Mm-hmm. But by 1955 it had just fallen into disrepair, and then by 1959 it was demolished. That's another one of those stories that begins a bunch of rumors and mythology.
Like,
what was in the walls? Probably nothing, but it's fun to think about.
I think the staircase still exists. I know.
Yes,
that's what I hear from a lot of urban explorers, and I know there's like fountains and
On the site.
Oh. Where is it, like, geographically? Can you
Muttontown
us?
Preserve. So it really is, Ella, you did a good one, because
that
one's really
close
to here.
To us,
yeah. Well, because it even says on the website, know before you go, like, where to go into the, like.
That's handy.
Yeah, it says don't go through, like, the main hiking preserve entrance. Enter through the equestrian center off Jericho, Oyster Bay. And it's like, I like that. It's hidden if you're coming from the LIE. Check this out. Like, you really do have directions and instructions, which
That's
is
great.
Good.
But it's true, because there are these giant gates when you're going down that area. And I think we all went to library school at Post, right?
Yeah.
From here, if you're heading there, you will see the giant gates.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Road trip.
and that's kind of, but I feel like this is the way, like, the Atlas Obscura get, you know, and like, you can go someplace, you could be visiting family, and you could just
we are seriously going
with my husband. Like, I can just, now my husband's one of those guys that loves any abandoned anything, but if it's like a mental institution or something from the past.
That's that, even more.
That ups the ante a little bit. Yeah. So I know there are places on your site. I mean,
I was like, I'll totally go.
Oh, of course.
I'll join that family trip of yours, Sharon.
You're part of the family. Yeah. So it's that sort of thing. I mean, do the people who contribute that you work with, do they have like their specialties, like their thing? Like, is there someone who's really into like abandoned hospitals or like amusement parks? Because, you know, there's a lot
or
of
Snake Islands.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, part of my bio, I just had to write a new bio, and the last line of it, I changed to find her at your local library or graveyard.
Yay!
Oh, nice.
Very similar.
My favorite types of things. I love a good library. I love a good graveyard. There's actually a colonial cemetery in Oyster Bay that, if you've ever been to the cemeteries, the really old ones in Boston or around Harvard.
Yes, I have. My husband has dragged me.
Yeah, so it's a similar aesthetic on the gravestone, where it has like these skulls with wings and crossbones.
Oh, yeah.
And there is one of those cemeteries. It's kind of hidden in Oyster Bay. And it's one of those like scamper through the woods to try to find it and look at the tree with the ribbon around it.
Another road trip.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
There's actually.
Go ahead. Cemeteries are just the best. I mean, even just to look at what names were popular, and some people have just fascinating gravestones. Like there's one with a Ouija board.
Have you ever been up to Sleepy Hollow? Because that is a really beautiful cemetery they give tours of, and they're famous people, Washington Irving. But you know, it's just a very cool cemetery.
It's been on my list for a long time. It's a nice place to visit too.
Just the town.
Check it out. And Halloween's just ended, sadly.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm really not about scary movies or haunted houses. I find them sort of traumatic, and so I can walk through a graveyard during the day, but when you start to get like headless horsemen involved, it's a bit different.
Well, we were there, we didn't see any, so I think it's safe during
the day. Good.
During
okay.
the day,
yeah,
good. Okay. Once at night, nighttime,
I can't guarantee anything.
All bets are off.
So one thing that is interesting about cemeteries, and it's funny because I was thinking about it, there's actually one in Woodbury, which is which is part of our community, up on a hiking trail, and I should probably put this in the Atlas as a guest contributor if it's not there already. So it is it's an old cemetery. It has the names of some families from Long Island, whose names are now names of roads. But it has those things. You know how like sometimes those old cemeteries, they would put things on the gravestones like suffered quietly for very just almost like very, you know, like just so you know, like this person suffered, but they were good about it. But one of the gravestones did not say that. One of the gravestones, if I recall correctly, because I did go hiking here with my husband a few years ago, implied that the person did not go quietly.
Oh wow. Where
right.
is this?
Not go gentle into that good night.
Not go gentle into the wind. It is
miserable complainer.
It's right off of Jericho Turnpike, on the cross between Jericho Turnpike and Woodbury Road.
Chapel is.
It's
right
across from the Little White Chapel, which has its own cemetery.
Okay.
Well, I was gonna be the. I don't call it the Little White Chapel. Whatever. I call it the place where they say like limousines and everything.
But it's also the Little White Chapel.
I know there's like a temple behind it too. Like I know the area because it's right by my parents. I didn't know on the other side there's
yes,
a hiking.
Yeah. So that's one I should actually take pictures of it and contribute.
Well, now you pique my interest.
Yeah.
I want to know what this
Yeah,
person.
I would love that. Yeah.
It's going to be like lunch break road trip.
I know.
We could. It's like right. It's like right
very
there.
Close to the library.
So anything else you'd like to suggest?
Ooh, around you. Well, it's interesting because I hadn't really... I was going to start talking about like New York City places.
Go for
it.
Go to New York
right
City.
Away.
Exactly. So what's around New York City? Because there's tons of things we know about, but what should we know about?
Right. So one, it's actually become less obscure because we've talked about it a lot, but it's called the New York Earth Room. And it's basically a room full of dirt. and that's it. It's in Soho, and it is an art installation. It's created by this artist named Walter De Maria, and it's been there since the 1970s, and it's an entire, basically a whole, I think it's 3,600 square feet, and it's 22 inches of dirt. And that's it. And they water it once a week.
As one does. Gotta keep your dirt fresh.
Yeah. But it's just, I mean, it's partially that it's just weird to see dirt inside a Soho walk-up. But it's also the audacity of, like, how much...
You're picturing like a basement.
I was picturing like a basement. Like a dirty...
No.
It's like a cellar? In an apartment? Like, yeah. Oh, wow. That changes it for me now. Now I can see.
Yeah, and it's fun to bring people to, because if someone's visiting, I'll say, oh, I have a special place to take you to. And you go there, you have to buzz to be let in.
Oh,
there's
wow.
no sense of what you're about to experience. And so you walk up these stairs and you're just like, welcome to dirt.
Oh, wow. I like that, because it's like, especially
you wanted to go to the M&M store?
Seems child friendly too.
You
can't worry about
see some dirt.
Bring my 2-year-old. He lives for dirt. So that's family friendly fun.
Well, yeah, the only issue is that you can't touch the dirt.
Oh, forget it. All bets are off.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
I like that though. It's like, I feel like I'd want to like do that to someone and be like, yeah, like I got
like
this really
prank
cool
idea.
Thing. Like,
yeah.
And then be like, oh, come on, it's super secret. Like, we're getting bussed in. Like, and they're like, what is it? What is
they
it?
Think
and
it's
I'm
a
like,
bar.
Ta-da!
Yeah.
Not a speakeasy.
Right. Just a bunch of dirt.
Oh, that's funny.
That's but really cool.
I find it very endearing. And it's free.
Yeah. No, that's even better, especially in New York City.
I'm just thinking about the rent you have to pay to maintain a dirt collection in the city. But
that especially because that's part of what I like about it, is the sheer audacity.
The audacity. I love it. Yeah.
The audacity of dirt.
Just like any audacity of dirt.
That's really cool, though.
There are so many things. I mean, one thing that I really like is actually in the middle of a very non-Atlas Obscura place, which is Times Square. It's another art installation, but it's really hard to detect. So at this particular intersection, there's a sound installation, and it's a hum. And you have to stand in the exact right place to be able to hear it. And it's so difficult to hear because it's amid the insanity of Times Square.
I feel like I've seen people trying to do it.
Yeah.
It
could just be crazy
stand
people
over
just,
a subway crate.
You know, in the city. Anything's possible.
Yeah. It's hard to tell. But yeah, it's just there. And you have to stand in the exact right spot. That's cool. Another thing I really like is at the Herald Square subway station. On one of the platforms, I think it's the Q platform, there's a hidden musical instrument. It just looks like this green bar. And it has a bunch of what looks like little holes in this in this horizontal green bar. And if you wave your hand in front of it, it will make a sound. Because it has these sensors. And so you can essentially play a song if you jump up and put your hand in front of all the different things.
I want to see people do that. Got to get my friends on it now.
Yeah, it's just something you can do while waiting for the Q train.
That's really cool.
The thing about the sound installations, it reminds me of at which train station? At the Grand Central Station, they have those corners that if you stand in the corner, if you stand in the corner, you can talk to somebody across the way or something. It's the dynamic.
It's
acoustics are designed.
Yeah,
do
I've seen that. They talk about that in books, like fiction books. And then I've had friends do it when we've met up in the city. And I'm
we
like,
tried
what?
It once because we saw that they, you know what? A lot of the things kind of tie into what I've seen, like scavenger hunts where you have to kind of go and find things.
Yeah.
Like, this would be a great, especially in the city, because you could, you know.
There's so much.
There's so many. But we went to one scavenger hunt where we had to do things, and we saw that it was the Grand Central hunt they talk about in the description where you listen to people across the, you know, the way to hear the acoustics. So. That's very cool.
Yes, it's a whispering gallery.
That's what
and
it is.
And it's opposite the
Thank
Oyster
you.
Bar. Mm-hmm. And it has the ceiling is arched in such a way that the acoustics allow for you to whisper and hear somebody. But it's kind of creepy. More people have cottoned onto it now. And anytime you walk past there, you see people just standing with their face, face in the corner. And it's kind of, if you've ever seen the end of the Blair Witch Project.
Yes. Oh my God, like the
spoilers. No, just kidding. Oh. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
creepy.
Yeah. That is creepy.
I was like,
but it's worth it.
And that, great. Oh, that would, if I just like saw someone there just being like, shh, I'm like, kind of, I'd be like, all right, gotta go.
Yeah, exactly.
So beyond here, what are some of your favorite places? Like maybe like some new ones that the new book's going to talk about or foods?
Yeah. So there's a library related one that is new for the updated edition. And I had to do so much fact checking because it just seems unreal. So there's an 18th century library in Portugal, in Mafra, and it's gorgeous. I mean, it's just very ornate. It's very sort of like white and gray tones, and all the books there are hundreds of years old. And that is amazing in itself. It's beautiful. But at night, they release a horde of bats to fly around the library to shoo away the insects that would otherwise feed on the old books. So it's their method of pest control.
Snakes not available for this?
I know. So many of my favorites involve creatures running amok. But they've been doing this. This is like the traditional way to keep the insects away. They do have to cover the desk with pelt.
Don't worry about. But because I would think morning, that, like, if they scratch something by accident, I don't know what type of bats these are. Sure. As if I'm a bat expert.
I got a guy. I'll check with my bad guy. I'll let you know.
Because that's definitely an interesting bat.
That's so cool.
That's very cool.
Do they have like a video of this?
Yeah. Not that I've seen. I haven't looked super thoroughly, but I know they do have to in the morning. They put protective animal pelts on the desks, and they have to clean the guano off the floor in the morning.
Jackie would not stand for that.
No, our coworker. She's a big germaphobe.
For anybody listening who's wondering if Syosset Library will employ bats, it's a cool idea, but I think some people are going to say no.
Yeah, well.
I don't even think we would have the like architecture to get
support
them in
bats.
And out of the building.
Yeah, like how without do you release, there how do you being wrangle, trouble? Wrangle a group of yeah, bats? What do you call a group of bats anyway? I don't know.
Oh, that I don't know, but I was like, you get a bat wrangler.
A flock, yeah, that works. Wow.
Another place in Portugal that we have added to the book, it recently got me in trouble because it's basically a 19th century serial killer's head in a jar.
You're speaking Stacey's language.
Oh, she's so excited.
I like creepy stuff like that, but what?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pickled. It's a pickled head.
Oh my God.
And it's been preserved just incredibly. He has a very serene look on his face. But I was doing a presentation on the book tour for what I thought was an adult event. But someone had brought their child. As I displayed on the giant screen this pickled head in a jar, and I gleefully talked about serial killers in the 19th century, I saw a woman and her small child running away.
Gosh, this is not what I was like.
We've all been there.
But it's amazing. It's worth looking at.
Story time gone wrong.
You know, even as a child, you need to be introduced to this type of thing.
You're never too young for a pickled, severed head story.
No.
That's so...
And, yeah, his story is quite fascinating. And this was during an era when things like phrenology were becoming prominent, and the idea that you could analyze someone's physicality and determine their morality was a prominent idea. And so that was what was behind preserving the serial killer's head.
That was part of like the eugenics movement, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of a precursor to that. So, I don't know if they ever determined anything from his potato-like head, but it's still on display.
Wow.
Yeah. So these are the kinds of delights you can expect from Alice Kira.
That's really cool.
We've been delighted.
Yeah, we really have.
I'm like so intrigued.
Good.
Because, like, as we're talking, I'll, like, we're randomly go through stuff on the website, and I'm like, ooh, like this. Ooh, I can't wait to get my hands on the book.
Stacy and I had a moment of a few months ago when we were really into, like, sunken towns.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that. I was like, what moment?
Or drowned villages, I think. Sunken. Like, when, like, there's a bunch up in...
Upstate
New York, like, around the Catskills, that were drowned to create reservoirs for New York City.
Yes.
I've heard about that. Yeah, I've heard of this.
We were talking about it with, because one of the books we both read that features in it where they created a man-made lake by drowning the town.
I don't want to say what book it is because I don't want to spoil it for anybody who's not read it yet, but it's a... But
just look at some of Jessica's staff picks on the website.
Yes, all the creepy
stuff. You'll narrow it down.
Cross promotion there. I like it.
No, yeah. But it's interesting. Some of the stuff you don't realize from either local history, world history, that, like, you know, these little bits that kind of just like pop up and take you down a rabbit hole of like, whoa.
Definitely.
Yes.
Like, I just,
I know I can end up on Wikipedia for hours.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah, like, it just.
But you mentioned that the story of the treasures in the walls, and I'm thinking Wikipedia. And
yeah, gotta go find the treasure of King's Og.
Yeah, we can. I think I now owe both Stacy and Sharon a drive by King's Og's ruins,
yep,
and by that, and maybe a hike up to that cemetery. Which
research.
It is research. This is we're right next to the local history department. We should all know about this stuff.
That's true.
Definitely. It's imperative.
Oh, very cool.
Oh, that's cute. You even have, like, because I'm scrolling through the website. For everyone that doesn't know, it's atlasobscura.com. But I like, because I like the creepy stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also just, one of the lists is the 11 surprisingly romantic places in New York City.
Aww.
I'm like, aw, romance.
Yeah, we go in a lot of different directions. Sure. You know, you can go for the macabre stuff, but you can also look at bridges made from the aerial roots of trees and incredible waterfalls and things that aren't so nightmare-inducing.
I like that you have food lists and everything, because I'm...
Oh, yes.
Are there any... How does
that... We have a food book coming out next year. The writer of it, her name is Cecily. She has been working on it very, very hardcore for a long time. It's going to be called Gastro Obscura.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
So, she's been collecting foods from around the world.
That's, and what's really the strangest, cool, can you say? Anything?
Oh,
or
man.
Or the most delicious.
Right.
Well, it's funny because, you know, one person's strange is another person's daily breakfast.
That is true. No judgment.
So like when I was on doing school visits on tour, and I was talking about how in Peru they weave this bridge out of grass and they reweave it every year, and it's a whole festival and they dance and drink beer and eat guinea pig, and all the kids were like, what?
Yeah.
Some of them probably have pet guinea pigs, but like, you know, that's just daily food for people on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there are foods that even if you're a local who grew up among them, they seem pretty weird, like fairy bread from Australia.
I guess as a kid that didn't seem strange.
It's like really cheap white bread with butter and sprinkles, and that's it.
Huh.
So not quite a delicacy, but a regional food, certainly.
It's really, it sounds like a snack. I would eat that.
But then there are things like the death noodles of Jakarta.
Whoa.
They are meant to be the world's spiciest noodles.
Yeah, I can't get into spicy. I know some people really, neither. I don't know. I have a limit.
It depends. I can't do like super spicy. Like they have the one chip challenge. I forgot the company that does it. But I've seen like someone I follow on YouTube that like eats stuff. And I'm like, a person I actually know, a friend of mine, was like, I'm going to do the one chip challenge. Cause it's like with ghost pepper or something like that. And you could only have one, because like if you eat more, like, you're going to burn your taste buds or something. But I'm like,
No, thanks. I'd like the one chocolate challenge, maybe. But
I like the five chocolate
challenge. Five, yeah. Why stop at one?
So I guess before we wrap, do you have a favorite library and a favorite cemetery? Just because you mentioned.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I love the cemetery in Edinburgh. To me.
Never been.
Was one of the coolest places I've ever been to.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, there are so many. Well, I mean, I really do like Greenwood Cemetery in Brooklyn.
That's actually
huge.
Gorgeous.
And it has the highest point in Brooklyn. So if you climb up the hill, you can go and see a vista open up before you. God, there's so many good libraries. One that I haven't yet been to, but I really want to, is the Peabody Library in Baltimore. Because it has this open, gorgeous space. I have a friend who got married there.
Oh, wow, nice.
I've since seen photos, I've wanted to go. But I wrote a lot of the Atlas of Pure book at the main reading room of the New York Public Library, which
is beautiful.
Is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you feel bad procrastinating in that room. You sort of feel like you want to impress the room.
Yeah, like earn your spot there.
Yeah. So that one's a classic. There's a library in another one that I haven't been to yet, but I want to, is at Yale. They have the medical library, a brain collection.
I've heard of that.
It's the Cushing Brain Collection, and it was recently renovated. Ooh. So you can just go and see a bunch of brains in jars.
Nice.
That's on my list for sure.
Library is more than just books.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
We shouldn't say just books, more than books. Mm-hmm.
Books and brains.
Yeah, and I recently visited the Brooklyn Historical Society's library, which is, I think it's like one of the few, it's landmarked, and it's one of the few indoor landmarked places. So that's really lovely. They've preserved it really nicely.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Yeah.
More places to add to our list, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. I do hope you'll come back at some point and talk about more weird and wonderful places to go.
Yeah,
thank you.
I would love to. We've barely scraped the surface.
Oh,
of
I'm sure.
And that's just it. I'm like, we could do this
we could
for
do this
hours.
All day. We're enjoying this very much. Thank you.
And we're so appreciative
yes,
of this.
Thank you
so much.
The time.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And what if people want to learn about events that the Atlas is having?
Yeah, so we call them experiences now because they're all about the experience. But if you go to atlasobscura.com, you'll see experiences and our international trips listed at the top.
That's really cool.
Fantastic.
Amazing. We now are all planning our next vacation.
That's right.
Yay.
All right.
I don't think I'll get there. Like.
So once again, this is Jessica and...
This is Sharon.
And Stacey.
And we're here with...
Ella Morton.
And we're going to close this chapter of Turn the Page.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.